John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to go to verse number 39 tonight, Brooks. Verse number 39. I've entitled the message tonight, The Comfort of God's Presence. I hope that you get what I want you to get tonight. I hope that it comes through. Chapter number 4, verse 39 says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Now this in chapter number 4, if you remember, is the chapter that deals with the woman at the well. And this woman, she gets saved. She goes in and she tells the men of the city that he told me all that I ever did. And so it says in verse 41 or 40, So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much that we can look into your word. I pray that you might bless and work in our hearts tonight. Lord, that which is in my heart, I trust, can be implanted to others, and that you would be glorified as a result of that, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a wonderful truth, I believe, veiled within this text. Though they had heard and believed the woman at the well, now we find they heard him for themselves. I believe that's important. It is a marvelous day when a believer doesn't just believe what someone has told them, but what God has revealed to them. There's a difference. Do we understand? It's a great day, parent, when your child grows up and no longer is it a matter that they do what you say and they go to church because you say and they read the scriptures or whatever. It's because now it is theirs. They do it because it's theirs. And something has taken place. Many children grow up in a home with Christian parents that later turn their backs upon the Savior. We find that all too often. Matter of fact, the statistics for that are really gut-wrenching. And it's horrible to hear of those things. They never came to the place, these young people never came to the place where they simply believed whatever God said. And certainly a great day when that child hears God without the parent. And they do out of their heart, out of a heart of love for God, and not fear of a parent. I mean, there's some reasons that young people never come to that spot in their life. One of those is they have believed all those who have told them that this world was not created by God, but happened by chance. I want you to hear what this says in John chapter 5, verse number 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Who did God use to teach us about creation? Was it not Moses? And so what's the Lord saying? If you didn't believe him about that and many other things, of course, if you had, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me, but ye believe not his writings. How shall ye believe my words? It becomes very important that young people understand that we are created by God. And he's the author of life and of all that's round about us. Now we look here in this chapter, and what happened to these Samaritans was the knowledge of the presence of God. Something took place. It had been the woman's testimony, but now they are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's a very key factor. Sometimes I've heard folks say, we need God's help. Have you ever said that? I need God's help. May I suggest to you something tonight? You don't need God's help. You need God. You need God. I believe there's a difference now. I hope you can see that. We need Him. We need His presence more than His healing hand. We need His presence more than that which He provides for us in this world. We need His presence more than a friend or a loved one. We simply need Him. He's the needed one in our life. Moses understood this. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, it says this, and he said, my presence, the Lord speaking, my presence shall go with me, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He understood the value of God being present in the life of the Israelites. And we understand that. It's not just His help in a time of need. Thank God that's there. But if He is there, He's there with help. Amen? And too often, we want Him off over here, but to just come when we need Him, and then He can go back over here somewhere. No, we need His presence all the time. We go back to the book of Genesis, and we find that one of the things that was taught to Jacob was the presence of God. In chapter 28 of Genesis, says verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's a pretty good promise. He says, I am with thee. A little later on, chapter 31, says, the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. The presence of Almighty God. The assured knowledge of the presence of God, I believe, assures us of some things. When you and I have that presence, when we recognize God is with us, we sense it deep within our soul. There comes to us a rest. And when I use the word rest, I'm not talking about laying down. I'm talking about a comfort. God assured them rest in the new land because He would be with them as He was in the wilderness. He said in Leviticus, I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. It was a rest or comfort knowing that the Almighty is looking over you. We as they may be in the land of the enemy, but God promises of His everlasting presence. Amen? Think about this for a moment. The bigger the enemy, the bigger our God. The greater the threat, the greater the grace. And my goodness, the marvel of His presence. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. No doubt you've been there many times. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may call the police someday because you have a need and there's been a problem around your home. Perhaps somebody's trying to do some bodily harm or to steal something. But I guarantee you this, somewhere along the line, the police will leave. Somewhere along the line, the president will leave. But understand this, the potentate never will. Almighty God is always there to give us rest, to give us that comfort, if you and I would just stop and recognize His presence. Too often we only think of God, as we mentioned a moment ago, when we have a need. Perhaps the only time you ever think of God is when you sit down to eat and out of habit or whatever, you pray and ask God to bless the food. I don't know what you do. By the way, you ought to. And the only time we seek after Him is when we have some sort of big need. but how we need to seek His presence at all times. I believe there's something else that God gives us when we have the presence of God very well ingrained in our soul. Not as the rest, but there's courage. There's courage. There are battles in life. There are battles. And He gives us courage to meet and go through those times. And as I mentioned a moment ago, though the enemy gets larger, and it does, over time, when you look back and you see how your life has progressed, you also notice something else. The enemy has gotten larger year after year. But God is seen as even larger. Think about this in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. He said, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them." He's saying, you're outnumbered. They've got equipment you don't have. Don't be afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now think about this. Understand, first of all, the enemy is always stronger than we are. Always stronger than we are. If you and I in the flesh seek to do battle with Satan, we will lose. If we seek to do battle with his forces on their terms, we will lose. They're always stronger than we are. But note something else. He's the same God, as he talks here, that brought them out from the world's strongest nation. Though they're always stronger, it is that same God who says, "I am with you." And then he says, "What's brought thee up out of the land of Egypt?" He's the one that can do those things. There's a couple of scriptures I'd like to join together, and I hope that it just makes some sense to you. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God gives us courage. We don't quit. We keep on going. We don't back off in weakness. We understand the strength of Almighty God. And He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. By the way, we need to understand all three of those in context with each other. And so what do we find? We find that God assures us with His presence of a rest. He assures us that we have comfort. He assures us of courage. God will give courage. And I come back to the word comfort. The trials of life abound and they have their purpose. 1 Peter 1:7. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What makes a great man greater? He goes through bigger trials. He has more problems. He has more things to seek to overcome. But understand something. They have their purpose. But in the midst of that, with His presence, there is comfort. In the book of Isaiah, beautiful verse, chapter 43, verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Listen, it's a comfort to know that He abides with the smallest of company. The Bible says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." He has promised it, but oftentimes we don't recognize it. But yet He says He will. It is a comfort that he promises to be with us to the very end. In Matthew 28, with the Great Commission, he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Anybody know what the next word is? Always. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. He promises to be with us to the end. Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, be with us? You ever thought about that? I've done that. If we stop and think about it, that's revealing our ignorance. Because he already promised he'd be with us, didn't he? Perhaps the prayer is, Lord, I want to experience your presence. I want to sense it deep in my soul. Perhaps it's because we don't really have faith that he is as he said he is. Those times that we have that spirit of fear, we're not believing in the presence of the Almighty. And so fear grips us sometimes. And we look at things and we get scared. And listen, is God able to take us through whatever lies ahead? Amen. Is he not able? How marvelous to be like Moses. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, it says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Sometimes we use the word relationship. A relationship is when we know somebody is near to us. It's like they're standing right here and we're talking to them. It's having a conversation, if you please. It's knowing the presence of Almighty God. If you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 64. Back in the 1800s, there was a great revival that took place. And what brought that about was they began to pray these verses right here. It says, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things we look not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now I understand this in context. I understand it deals with the nation of Israel. But within this text, I believe are some thoughts. Oh, that thou wouldst come down, that we might experience the blessed presence of God. You see, how does that take place? How do you experience the presence of the person sitting next to you? How do you experience it? I believe the answer is pretty simple, amen. We talk to each other. God has given to man the ability of language. And that language helps us to convey our hearts and our minds from one to another. It helps us to open up and share with others our emotions and our desires and our intents. And we become attached to people because we learn those marvelous things about them. give you an illustration. For many, many years, Brother Gene Kimmel came to our church, held Faith Promise Missions Conference. Year after year, he'd come and he'd preach. And many times there would be other missionaries that would come with him that most of the time that he had recommended had men and so forth. And I missed that portion of his ministry to our church. But there was something that took place almost every year. And that is, he talked about a certain individual. I had never met him. But from the talk of Brother Kimmel, I felt like I knew him. And so for the last about 20 years, I've got to know him face to face. I knew before I ever met him, I liked him. I knew before it ever took place because of the things that I had heard. My heart had mended in with his. And we have a tremendous relationship as a man to man. His name is Ron Todd. And again, I didn't know him for years. What happened? There was a closeness that developed, not even me talking with him, but talking with somebody who knew him. How did these men in Israel with this woman become attached to Jesus? It first started secondhand. As they talked about, or as she talked about Jesus to them. And after a time, they came to see him themselves. I was so interested in meeting Brother Todd, I called him when I knew he was back on furlough. I said, "Would you come to our missions conference?" And he did. We had a tremendous week together. And like that instance, we find these men, they hear about it, and they're so taken, they want to meet him. They go out there, and what happens? Now they see him. And what's it say in verse 41? And many more believe because of his own word. He said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. How can you grow in your fellowship with God? How can you be one that has this marvelous presence of God? Listen to him. Listen to him. Have you ever liked the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Been reading your Bible and your heart burned within you. There was just something, man, it gripped your soul. It wasn't about what you'd learned in a factual way, but it was something that spoke to your heart. That's what we're talking about. Presence of God. Sometimes we talk about having a church service when we see the presence of God. We sense the Spirit of God moving and speaking to our hearts. It might be through the music, it might be through the message, it might be through the fellowship we have one with another. It might be all three. But we experience that sometimes together. Oh, the heavens would be rent. And he would come down, service after service, day after day in your heart and my heart. Would it make a difference in our life? What would it do? It'd give us a rest. It would give us a comfort. It'd give us a courage in the face of all opposition, all that stands against us. Somebody said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We need a good, healthy fear of God, realizing his marvelous presence and how great he is. May God work in our hearts. Father, tonight, bless. May he be glorified in every heart and mind. Help us, oh God, to experience, not just know about, but experience the presence of God. May we long for it. May it be a desire that's so intent that we can hardly eat or sleep without seeking after. Oh God, bless and work in the days and months ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is he not able? How marvelous to be like Moses. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Sometimes we use the word relationship. A relationship is when we know somebody is near to us. It's like they're standing right here and we're talking to them. It's having a conversation, if you please. It's knowing the presence of Almighty God. If you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Back in the 1800s, there was a great revival that took place. And what brought that about was they began to pray these verses right here. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things we look not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Now I understand this in context. I understand it deals with the nation of Israel. But within this text, I believe there are some thoughts. Oh, that thou wouldst come down, that we might experience the blessed presence of God. You see, how does that take place? How do you experience the presence of the person sitting next to you? How do you experience it? I believe the answer is pretty simple, amen. We talk to each other. God has given to man the ability of language. And that language helps us to convey our hearts and our minds from one to another. It helps us to open up and share with others our emotions and our desires and our intents. And we become attached to people because we learn those marvelous things about them. I'll give you an illustration. For many, many years, Brother Gene Kimmel came to our church, held Faith Promise Missions Conference. Year after year, he'd come and he'd preach. And many times there would be other missionaries that would come with him that most of the time that he had recommended had meant and so forth. And I missed that portion of his ministry to our church. But there was something that took place almost every year. And that is, he talked about a certain individual. I had never met him. But from the talk of Brother Kimmel, I felt like I knew him. And so for the last about 20 years, I've got to know him face to face. I knew before I ever met him, I liked him. I knew before it ever took place, because of the things that I had heard. My heart had mended in with his. And we have a tremendous relationship as a man to man. His name is Ron Todd. And again, I didn't know him for years. What happened? There was a closeness that developed, not even me talking with him, but talking with somebody who knew him. How did these men in Israel with this woman become attached to Jesus? It first started secondhand. As they talked about, or as she talked about Jesus to them. And after a time, they came to see him themselves. I was so interested in meeting Brother Todd, I called him when I knew he was back on furlough. I said, would you come to our missions conference? And he did. We had a tremendous week together. And like that instance, we find these men, they hear about it. And they're so taken, they want to meet him. They go out there, and what happens? Now they see him. And what's it say in verse 41? And many more believe because of his own word. He said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. How can you grow in your fellowship with God? How can you be one that has this marvelous presence of God? Listen to him. Listen to him. Have you ever liked the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Been reading your Bible and your heart burned within you? There was just something, man, it gripped your soul. It wasn't about what you'd learned in a factual way, but it was something that spoke to your heart. That's what we're talking about. Presence of God. Sometimes we talk about having a church service when we see the presence of God. We sense the Spirit of God moving and speaking to our hearts. It might be through the music. It might be through the message. It might be through the fellowship we have one with another. It might be all three. But we experience that sometimes together. Oh, the heavens would be rent and he would come down. Service after service. Day after day in your heart and my heart. Would it make a difference in our life? What would it do? It'd give us a rest. It would give us a comfort. It'd give us a courage in the face of all opposition, all that stands against us. Somebody said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We need a good, healthy fear of God, realizing his marvelous presence and how great he is. May God work in our hearts. Father, tonight, bless. May he be glorified in every heart and mind. Help us, oh God, to experience, not just know about, but experience the presence of God. May we long for it. May it be a desire that's so intent that we can hardly eat or sleep without seeking after. Oh God, bless and work. In the days and months ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.